start your day with remembrance of us all. Start your day with remembrance of us all. Start your day. Start your day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode of the Silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we are hopeful that you and your family is safe and sound. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant safety and security to all Muslims out there, especially those Muslims who are suffering because of the oppression of the oppressors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them protection and remove their difficulties as well. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are in the glorious month of Rabi'ul Akhir, Rabi'ul Ghawth, and today we are going to be highlighting one aspect which is connected to Ghawth-e Pak, Ghawth-e Azam, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi, who is the undisputed king of all the awliya Allah, our master, our leader, and his name, his teachings echo around the world, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal. With Garwi Sharif on our doorstep, we are going to be talking about today the piety of Ghawth-e Pak, Ghawth-e Azam, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali's parents. And once again, we are fortunate after a very lengthy period of time to have our Honorable Mawlana Abdul Qadir Mu'ini Qadri Sahib, mashallah, to also give us a Madani pearls of advices on this topic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, yourself?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. You have added some brightness to the silsila by accepting the invitation of also joining us today, mashallah. We are in this glorious month of the Grand Ghawth, Ghawth-e Azam. And today we have a beautiful topic of highlighting Ghawth-e Pak's parents, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. But we're going to link that, inshallah, to the lesson that parents need to derive from their lives, inshallah. Before that, let's recall the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions in order to gain more reward, inshallah. And oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm watching, I'm listening to this silsila of Madani channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm listening, I'm watching in order to learn ilmuddin. And what I learn, I will try to practice, Ya Allah, and I will try to convey this message to others as well, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. There are so many blessings for reciting Durood-e Pak. If only we make it our habit to dedicate some time every day for the recitation of Qur'an-e Pak, Durood-e Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of deen from authentic sources, which Dawud Islami has the facilities, the activities, and the platforms for. Listen to this beautiful narration and make up your mind that I must recite a minimum of 313 times salawat in Durood-e Pak every day, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. The Prophet of humanity, the Prophet of creation, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said, whoever recites salat upon me 3 times during the day and 3 times at night with love and devotion, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive the sins that he committed during that day and that night. Subhanallah. This is a way for the forgiveness of our sins. We know our reality. We know that we constantly commit sins on a daily basis. So here is a way of forgiveness of those sins through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful kalam, a manqabat of Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullah ta'ala ali. Enjoy and receive some inspiration and we'll continue thereafter. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
سے قدم اعلیٰ تیرا اونچے اونچوں کے سروں سے قدم اعلیٰ تیرا تیرا اولیاء ملتے ہیں آنکھیں وہ ہے تلوار تیرا اولیاء ملتے ہیں آنکھیں وہ ہے تلوار تیرا دستگیر غوثِ اعظم میرے پیر دستگیر غوثِ اعظم میرے پیر قبلائے دین مددِ کعبہ باہِ ایمان مددِ قسمِ دے دے کے کھلاتا قسمیں دے دے کے کھلاتا ہے پلاتا ہے تجھے پیارا اللہ تیرا چاہنے والا تیرا پیارا اللہ تیرا چاہنے والا تیرا پیران پیر روشن بنے بے سستگی دستگی قبلائے دین مددِ کعبہ باہِ ایمان مددِ یاد بے جس پہ حمایت کا گو پڑ جا تیرا کیا دبے جس پہ حمایت کا گو پڑ جا تیرا شیر کو خطرے ملاتا نہیں کتا تیرا شیر کو خطرے ملاتا
کرتا نہیں کتا تیرا یا شاہ جینا کھادا سنا خانو میں چہرہ تیرا چل کھالا سنا خانو میں چہرہ تیرا پیرانے پیر روشن بنے دستگی دستگی قبلائے دی مدد کارا بائے ایمان مدد
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, I'm sure you would have enjoyed that beautiful kalam. And subhanAllah, we saw the wonderful grand dome of Baghdad Sharif, of the King of Awliya Allah, Ghousi Azam Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali. Many of the Muslims around the world, some have already flocked there to attend the ceremony and the anniversary and the urs of this great wali, this kamil wali of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, the King of Awliya Allah. And we make dua, Awliya Allah, take us there also. Take us there and take us time and again to make this ziyarat, to stand there in front of Ghousi Park and to convey our salam as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Today we are talking about the piety of Ghousi Azam's parents. And I'm sure you may have heard this incident before, but whenever we listen to it, whenever we hear it, then our faith, our iman gets refreshed.
Subhanallah.
Because what a wonderful narration with regards to how Ghousi Pak, Ghousi Azam's parents, they met. Subhanallah. I'm sure you know that Ghousi Azam's father was Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali. And he was engaged in devotional and spiritual exercises. And he became extremely hungry. He started to starve. In fact, he started to starve for a third time. And as he's sitting along the banks of a river, he sees an apple just floating by. And he quickly takes the apple and bismillah, he eats it up. But later he starts to think to himself, look how conscious these people of Allah are, these Ahlullah are. He starts to think to himself that I have just eaten an apple which belongs to somebody, because there are orchids, there are apple trees close by, there's a farm close by, so it should belong to somebody. And without that person's permission, I took it and I ate it up. So he started to feel guilty, but he said, I need to go follow the river upstream, find the place, find the owner, and apologize and ask them for maaf. He travels for a long distance. And he sees a grand building. And there's a very big apple tree where the branches are flowing over, that the apples are over the river. So he said, this should be the place from where the apple had fallen into the river. So he goes to the building, to that house, and he introduces himself. The person he's talking to is Sayyiduna Abdullah Soma'i Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, who would become the maternal grandfather of Ghousi Azam Rahmatullah Ali. So as he's apologizing, Sayyiduna Abdullah Soma'i Rahmatullah Ali says, I will forgive you on condition that you serve me for 12 years. If that was us, we would think the person is maybe crazy for an apple. But because Sayyidina Abu Musa Salih Jangidos Rahmatullah Ali, to avoid the accountability on the Day of Judgment, he agreed to serve for 12 years.
I thought if it was like, you know, people nowadays, us, this was just an apple, a single apple.
Mm.
And that too in a state of hunger. Who thinks so far as to, you know, being True. Held accountable for eating one apple that nobody even claimed the ownership of?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was his piety that he went, he traced it all the way back to see really if he had done injustice to somebody's property. And here we have people that gobble up in the entire apple farm and an entire orchard
property, yes.
And not feel any guilt about it, you know. And here just one apple which was fallen into the river, it was floating through. And he just happened to be there at the right time. And due to his extreme hunger, he took and ate it to satiate himself, to carry on with life for that time being. And then after that, the guilt settled in. And then he followed and he traced back the root of that apple, where it came from. And then he wanted to see the owner to seek his forgiveness, subhanAllah. Yes. This is now, this is a great lesson for us.
Absolutely. In fact, the factors that led to this was, as you mentioned, his piety, his consciousness of Allah Azza wa Jal, about fulfilling rights of others, that you know what, I'm going to be held accountable for this apple, even on the Day of Judgment. So all of these things, all of these factors motivated him that, you know what, I'd rather ask for maaf now than be accountable on the Day of Judgment. And you know, he serves the 12 years. He serves the 12 years and then he says, Huzur, my 12 years are up. And then what does he say? What answer he receives? Allahu Akbar. He receives the answer, I have another condition. That I have a daughter that she is blind. Listen to this. She is blind. She is deaf. She cannot speak. She's disabled. She's lame. Allahu Akbar. You have to make nikah to her and then serve me for the further 2 years. Then wherever you want, you can go. What would be my response? What would be your response? That, you know, I served 12 years. Now you're asking me to get married to your daughter who is disabled. That this is not fair. I mean, this will go through our minds. But in order to avoid that accountability on the Day of Judgment, he agrees to this even. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, when the nikah is done and he goes to that hujra, to that room, and he sees an extremely beautiful lady that even the night of a full moon stood nowhere close to her beauty. And she was safe and sound. She was able to see. She was able to speak. No disabilities. Immediately he returns. He leaves the place. He thought, maybe I entered the wrong room. And he goes to Sayyidina Abdullah Suma'i rahmatullah ta'ala Ali, and he says, I please forgive me, but I went to the wrong place. And he says that you went to the right place. Whatever attributes I mentioned about my daughter are 100% correct. That she's blind because she has never seen a ghayr mahram. She's deaf because she has never heard anything bad. She's disabled because she has never touched a strange man. She has never moved against the order of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. When Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangidos Rahmatul Ali, when he heard this, he developed a very great respect for his honorable wife. And subhanallah, they lived happy with each other. The honorable mother of Ghusi Azam Rahmatul Ali was Sayyida Ummul Khair Fatima Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Aliha. And you know, you can see that if the tree is good, the fruits will be good as well. So if these are the parents, the characteristics of the parents of Ghusi Azam, we can understand that the child, Ghusi Azam rahmatullah ta'ala Ali, who was born a waliullah, had learned these attributes and characteristics from his honorable parents, subhanallah azza wa jal. A message to parents out there, that we are nourishing our children, we are nurturing our children, but are we nourishing them with Islamic thought? Are we nurturing them with Islamic values? as O.C. Park's parents did, because they themselves, they were conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. They were conscious about fulfilling rights of others and not usurping rights. And also, as you rightfully said, today we have people who disregard the rights of others. There's no care that, you know what, I'll usurp somebody's property, or I'll just hurt anybody's feelings because it makes me feel good. It feeds my ego. But what can we say about this?
Look, it's down to the fact that we sometimes feel entitled, that
problem.
I deserve better.
Yes.
And sometimes shaitan can play tricks with our minds.
Mm.
And he boosts our ego. You know what? No, you are better off than other people. And you know, they are like your subordinates. And if you take away something from someone that you weren't rightfully supposed to do,
right,
it's your right. And then you start justifying your wrong actions, violating people's rights, and then you say, one of those things. And you just brush it off. Now, the thing comes when there's conscience.
Mm.
If you have this conscience and this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in mind, way the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising us to preserve and protect people's rights, whether it's your parents, children, spouse, neighbor,
right,
and it extends outwardly. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says about liking for others what you like for yourself.
Yes, right.
If you wouldn't like to be treated badly, right, then same applies to you treating somebody else with the same token.
Mm.
And this actually should create peace and harmony at home, in society, if we start looking at things in this way.
Yes.
That if I wouldn't want to be treated badly, then why should I treat others the same way? Because however I treat others is going to come back to me.
Masab, do you think that one of the main reasons of a breakdown in relationships, especially between husband and wife or parents and children, is violating each other's rights?
Yes.
Would this be one of the main reasons?
Yes, I mean, if we neglect our children, let's say, for example, if we neglect our children now, and we don't give them any Islamic upbringings, or we don't provide for them, when they grow big, they're not going to recognize us as parents.
But
they're not going to give us that rightful due that we...
But we give them everything, isn't it? We make sure they go to school.
If, I'm saying, if.
Jesus.
Right, so... If we are guilty of that.
Another issue is that, okay, we're giving them everything. We yes, you know, shelter, food, school, you know, toys, whatever it is, phone. But what about that ruhaniyat and spirituality and Islamic values? How come many parents are not grounding them? I was talking to a person yesterday.
Right.
And they mentioned in their area, one of the biggest problems they have is that parents themselves, they're not in tune with Islamic teachings. They don't, you know, the knowledge is extremely limited and they don't even practice. So this rubs off on the kids, that they don't nurture their kids according to Islamic values. Because from this incident itself, we see that definitely because of their Islamic upbringing, they taught like this. Sayyidina Abu Musa Salih Jangidos, rahmatullahi, he taught like this because he had an Islamic grounding,
yes,
his foundation of Islamic values. And the honorable mother of Hosi Azam, that she, rahmatullah alayha, because of her upbringing, she was not communicating with the ghayr mahram, strange men. She was not looking or going towards bad places. So is that not a lesson there for our Islamic sisters also? That, you know what? I mean, who's your role model? How I, in terms of how you're dressing, how you're thinking, how you're living? Because our grounding is missing in many many Muslim homes.
Yeah, sometimes we see parents, as Mawasab is saying, if they're not brought up Islamically. And parents are laxy-daisy, you know, they're too relaxed. And they feel, okay, this isn't the right time. They're still children. Then from that age of being a toddler, then they go grow up and reaching up to in their teen age, or they're still children. You know, why should we reprimand them if they do certain things wrong, in a wrong way, and if they are going on a wrong track? They are still children. And then they reach adulthood, and time flies by. And when they reach adulthood and we still keep that mindset, they are still children. To parents, children will be, always be children.
Yes.
Right? And even if they grow up, get married and have their own children, they will still be children. Absolutely. To parents.
Mm.
So this kind of mindset, we need to catch a wake up that, you know what, this is the time they have reached a certain threshold or certain milestone in their development phase. And like, for example, Islam encourages us when the children reach the age of 7, instill in them the habit of reading Salah. Right? And then when they reach a slightly higher in age, if they are siblings living together, then they must sleep in separate beds. Right? And so on and so forth. So these are the milestones.
Yes.
And when they reach the age of 10, then we must be more strict with them. Now, from the age of 7, just try to introduce Salah and rules of Salah, and encourage them to read their 5 times daily Salah. But when the, by the time they reach the age of 10, they should be already in it. Like, it must come natural to them to keep, inshallah, guard over their Salah and so on. And as you mentioned, the rites, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, in his childhood, he was taught this Islamic value to not to violate others' rights. When his mother, Sayyida Umul Khair, when she gave him the 80 gold coins, 80 dinars, and we all know when the robbers, they robbed him, he had 40 dinars, so, but she gave him 80. And from that 80, he took out the share of his brother. That was 40 coins. That's how he was remained with 40. Subhanallah. So he said, this is my brother's share, so give it to him.
That's his haq. I have to give it to him.
Yes.
Subhanallah.
So look, there is also a great lesson that, you know, in his very early childhood, he was aware of these facts, these Islamic values. They were taught to him. And if the mothers are like Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, the children will obviously be like Imam Hassan and Hussein. If the mother is like Umul Khair, the children will be the likes of Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Well, dear viewers and listeners, we're talking about the piety of Ghawse Azam's parents. We'll be right back, inshallah. So let's go for a quick short clip on the blessings of sitting in the gathering of saints. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Abu Muhammad Khashab Nahwi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that I used to hear about the lectures of Ghawse Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu from others. I was very busy with my own studies and in my own engagements, and I couldn't attend myself. I didn't have time. Yet, eventually, I made a firm intention that I am going to go to the gathering of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu to listen to the lectures myself. So I went, I listened to the lecture, and it didn't inspire me much. Meaning, I didn't even understand it that much. And in my heart, I began to think, I wasted my time. When this happened, straight away, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi turned towards me, and he said, woe to you! You give superiority to Nahav, Arabic grammar, syntax, over this majlis of dhikr, this gathering of dhikr, and you rather be studying Nahav. Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi alayhi instructs him that attend our gatherings, adopt these kind of gatherings, and I will make you like Sibawi. Sibawi is a renowned grammarian. People know about Sibawi. And subhanallah, what happened? Sayyiduna Abdullah Khashab Nahwi rahmatullahi alayhi began staying with Ghawse Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. And what was the outcome? He became one of the greatest imams of Nahw in his time. Subhanallah, we learn that sitting with the awliya, attending their gatherings, only brings benefit. And we should not give tarjih to other things over sitting with the righteous and the pious. May Allah Ta'ala grant us such opportunities where we're able to sit with the righteous, the the saints of Allah, pious personalities. Ameen.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back. MashaAllah Azawajal, Hafiz Kaleem At-Tari, and he was discussing about sitting in the company of the pious people. This is something, if we want a change in our lives, this can have a great effect, positive effect in our lives, on our lives, by sitting in such company of righteous ulama, of the righteous bondsmen of Almighty Allahu Azza wa Jal. And we see that Ghawse Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, his parents themselves, they were righteous people, they were pious people. As Mulana Abdul Qadir Sahib had mentioned, that his honorable mother, what lessons that she taught him. When those robbers came, she told him that don't speak lies. Whenever it is, don't speak lies. Me and you as parents, are these the kinds of messages that we are conveying to our children? That, you know, don't speak lies, watch your tongue, don't backbite, etc. Or are we ourselves engaged in these kinds of sins and our kids are learning from us? Allahu Akbar. So something for us to think about. Ghawse Azam's honorable father, subhanallah azza wa jal, he was a man of great character. That what is right, no matter what. One day he is going somewhere and he sees some servants of the king that they had some clay pots with them. And those clay pots were filled with alcohol, with wine, heading towards the palace of the king. Allahu Akbar. He instantly comes and he breaks all of those clay pots. And the servants, when they see the awe of the father of Ghawse Pak, Sayyidina Abu Musa rahmatullahi alayhi, they keep quiet and they report this to the king. The king summons and the king is fuming with rage, with anger, that who gave you permission to do this? And he said that I was appointed to oversee these matters. And the king says, who appointed you as a supervisor? Allahu Akbar. He replies, the same one who has appointed you as a king.
Subhanallah.
When he hears these words, it has a direct effect on his mind, on his heart. Allahu Akbar. He puts his head in shame on his knees. And he says, okay, I understand. He acknowledges. And he says, I also appoint you as a supervisor in my kingdom. And Sayyidina Abu Musa rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already appointed me as a supervisor, then what need is any creation to appoint me as a supervisor? These were real men. They had courage, they have bravery. It doesn't matter, the clay pots, the wine belongs to the king, no problem. But this is wrong.
It's such a beautiful Islamic value to enjoin good and forbid evil. Amrun bil ma'ruf and nahyun 'anil munkar.
Absolutely.
And this is what the father of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala did. And for that reason, he was known as Jangi Dost. And very beautifully, when the king asked him, why did you do this? What is the wisdom behind it? So he has his best interest in his heart.
Yes.
He didn't do it because he felt that he had a certain authority or whatever, or to exercise his authority as a person who enjoins good and prohibits evil. But at the same time, he had the best interest of the king
to
in mind.
To protect the reputation of the king.
Yes. So they are people of Allah. They're not driven by their own personal agendas or greed,
yes.
or because they want to show their authority, throw their weight around. That is never their intention. I said, Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, inspired by this value that was instilled by his parents, he, alhamdulillah, himself says that about 100,000 people, they made tawbah on his hand.
Allahu Akbar.
They traced their evil deeds back and they reformed themselves on the hands of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala and made tawbah.
Subhanallah.
Over 100,000 people. That was the impact of the teaching of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak.
For you and I to try and change one person, it's a challenge. But because of the upbringing that his parents gave to him, because of the lessons that they taught him, not just in the way of preaching, but practically, that, you know, this is what Islam is all about. And he learns that from this beautiful Islamic environment. And should you and I also, who are lovers of Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Pak, we are lovers of Khwaja Sahib, Ala Hazrat, And awliyaullah, we love them. But how come that we will commemorate the urs and the anniversary, but many of us, we are neglectful when it comes to reading our salahs, when it comes to following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to taking the message of Islam to others out there, to reform ourselves, to reform our family members, to reform our society, and to take Islam out there. How come we fail in this? So let's become practical. Let us stop the lip service that yes, yeah, Ghaus al-Madad, definitely. But you know, let's get practical and start emulating them and walking in their footsteps. This is what they taught us. Ghaus-e Azam, rahmatullahi, for over 40 years, he continued these messages of inviting to goodness and forbidding evil. And you and I can do it. We can start in our own lives, we can start in our own homes, and we can start in our own societies as well. And this is what Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah has given us, this mindset and this formula that I must strive, I have to work hard, I must strive to reform myself and people of the entire world. And to achieve this, Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, Madani Qafila is there, the program of Nek A'mal is there, daily activities, weekly, monthly, yearly activities are in place in order for us to practically fulfill this Madani mission statement, this motto, which has changed literally millions of lives of people out there, men and women, boys and girls, that have come towards the true teachings of Islam, the true beliefs of Islam. And you and I can do the same if we take that step forward. And alhamdulillah, Ghaus-e Azam is one of our senior role models, a leader, true leader of Islam. He's one of our heroes. So let us continue with the Garvi Sharif commemorations, but let us also continue in following in their footsteps as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu ta'ala ala
Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day.